Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 4th, 2021. The world is in trouble. Most people don't realize, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the Holy City. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. That phone number is 610-628-7846-82. In an emergency, hey, you can use my cell phone. Text me first, 316-649-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information. All this is our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program and simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube, podcasts. Also, some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listener base out there, like Glasgow, in the city of Glasgow, United Kingdom, Sydney, Australia, Toronto, Canada, and, of course, cities in good old United States, such as Santa Ana, California, Tampa, Florida, and Chicago, Illinois. And, yes, Wichita, you made it to the largest group of listeners anyway this last week to our radio programs. When they go from live radio to what? Podcast. By the way, folks, send us an email at radio@messiahsbranch.org or simply text my phone, 316-619-4886, and let us know where you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. We'll have a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray that it goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we've got Joel Richardson back on with us. And I know, folks, don't say it. We had kind of some abrupt things last time or whatever. But his books are When a Jew Rules the World, Mystery Babylon, Mideast Beast, the scriptural case for an Islamic Antichrist, The Islamic Antichrist. He also co-authored a book called God's War on Terror with Waleed Shubat. He also wrote a book called The Mystery of Catastrophe, and documentaries. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. CDs, you know, DVDs. One is End Time Eyewitness, the Global Jesus Revolution, The Battle for Jerusalem. Of course, he's made many other DVDs on end times, and you can find them all on this website called Joel's Trumpet. His new book, long-awaited book, is Sinai to Zion. Welcome, Joel Richardson. Are you there?
Pastor Dan, it's good to be on with you, my friend.
Wow, I can hear you. amen. You know, I did have another guest on recently that, you know, we thought we had it fixed, but we got it figured out now. So, anyway, Sinai to Zion, and it's out in print, and how is that book doing?
It's doing okay. What I've done is I've released the Kindle version on Amazon, but I'm only selling the hardcover on my website. So, you know, it's almost kind of limiting in that sense, but I decided this time around I'm not going to give all of the profit away to Amazon. And eventually here, I'll put the hardcover on Amazon as well. But, I mean, it seems to be doing pretty good.
Yeah, amen. Well, if people only realize, if they knew ahead of time what the content was, then they probably wouldn't need to read the book exactly. But this is a dynamite book for all the information it has in it. Now, you've been talking about this book clear back when you went, I call it, how do we deal with Mount Sinai? I mean, the real Mount Sinai has come out. You know, I don't want to say discovered, but disclosed. How would you place that with people to make that description?
Well, it's been rediscovered for all intents and purposes. You know, back in the 80s, you had Ron Wyatt who rediscovered this mountain, or at least he popularized it in the Western world. It's never really been lost. The interesting thing is the Muslims have always known where it is there in northwest Saudi Arabia, but much of the Western world, the Jewish and the Christian world, forgot, or they misplaced it, so to speak. They think it's this other mountain over in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. But Ron Wyatt was the first modern Western Christian to bring light back to this other mountain called Jebel Allah's. And then there's been several others since then that have gone, and then a few years ago I had the opportunity to slip into Saudi Arabia myself, and then in October of 2019 I was blessed to lead the first Christian tour in history into Saudi Arabia, and took about 25 people to see the mountain.
That's fantastic. I know you told me, you said you spent the night on Mount Sinai. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so after the tour was over, myself and several friends hiked to the top. And what's so fascinating, because I didn't see this the first time I was there, is when you read the story of the Exodus, Exodus 24, all the way up to 32, in the section when the covenant is being completed, and it says Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, they go up the mountain, and they have a feast, and they look up and they see the feet of God, and it looks as though it's on a sea of lapis lazuli or cobalt blue. I mean, it's just amazing. They eat, they saw God. It says they saw God and they ate and drank. And then Moses goes all the way up to the top. So it's as though they're at the top of the mountain, but then it says, you stay here from afar. Moses goes all the way up. Well, so when we got, I'm going to say, to the top of the mountain, what we realized is that you could not create a Hollywood set design based on the Bible better than Jebel Allah. You get up there and there's a plateau about the size of a football field, and it's surrounded by a ridge that's about 40 feet high, massive, massive ridge, and it's so clear when you get there that this is the real Mount Sinai. Scholars who have never been there, they just read the Bible, they say Mount Sinai is essentially like the temple. You have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies. And so we camped there where the 70 elders would have eaten the covenant sealing supper, the feast, and they looked up and saw God, and we camped there, and it just so happened, we didn't plan it, it was the last night of Sukkot,
wow.
2019, and it was absolutely unbelievable.
That just blows me away completely. You know, I've been so completely fascinated about the real Mount Sinai ever since, you know, Ron Wyatt, and, you know, brought it forth to us, you know, so to speak. But that's just fantastic. But to actually get to spend the night up there and that, and it, let alone when you did on Sukkot, that makes my heart go fast. You know, it's just probably one of the most exciting things that I can think of. You know what I mean? You know, other, of course, you should return. You know what I mean? But that's fantastic. So now, we're going to get, this was going to take us into your book, but first the question is, you had talked on our program, and it's been a while, different listeners, isn't there some kind of documentary film or something that you guys are working on and kind of got slowed down? Is that going to come back?
Yeah, we essentially filmed a documentary, but we're going to do it over again, and by the grace of God, we'll do that sometime later this year. I won't get into all the details as to in terms of why, but yeah, we're going to do it again. And this time what we're going to do is hike to the top. What I want to do is bring a handful of Israelis secular or secular Jews or, you know, nominal Jews, and as well as perhaps some local Saudi Arabian Muslims, and just get a group as I lead them through this tour and explain the different sites, the locations, open the Bible, and then film the reactions, these Jews, Muslims, and Christians as they're experiencing this for the first time. And I think that would be historical, not only spiritually, but even geopolitically, just because of some of the developments that are happening behind the scenes with Israel and Saudi Arabia entering into a bit of a security agreement because of Iran. I just think the time is ripe, and I think it would be good. It would be a good movie, good documentary from every angle, you know, whether you're a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, from an adventure perspective, a spiritual perspective, a geopolitical perspective. That would be some good film.
Yeah, timing. I mean, you know, it's so fantastic. You brought to point and in your various books and things, and now like this new book, you brought some pretty fantastic things out to the world that the world really hadn't looked at before, you know, or they had and buried whatever. So, and you're bringing it together, and everything, all of these things you do are, it seem to be stacking and open, you know, they're all connected together. You understand what I'm saying? They're all really connected together. One of them seems to lead you to another one. And bringing this forward into a documentary form, you know, is just fantastic. You know, Ron Wyatt told me, and he's told a lot of others, didn't get a chance to meet him before he died, but he said that these things were preserved for, you know, the end time, you know, for more finality. And I too believe that. And some of the things that are happening around it, like now, nobody could even get in there, even if they wanted to go to Mount Sinai, because the relation, they didn't, their Arabs didn't want the people in, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was closed off. Saudi Arabia, it's illegal to enter the country, the kingdom, unless you're a work visa. So Ron Wyatt snuck in. And, you know, there was a lot of talk like, well, they're just trying to hide the truth. They don't want the world to know. I think, you know, there's an element where they just didn't want, if I can say it this way, you know, crazy American Christians sneaking into their country and, you know, and hiking around and possibly getting hurt, getting in trouble. And so I understand that. They did put a fence around it to protect it, and they've done a good job. I want to give them credit, the Saudi royal family, for protecting it. It's what's so amazing is it has been preserved. You know, on the tour, I made the joke. I said, "Hey, thank God for Sharia law." In other words, thank God that in His sovereignty, He's hidden this thing. He's protected it behind the Islamic Iron Curtain, and now it's preserved and it's ready for the whole world to see. And it's a profound testimony concerning the most foundational story in the whole Bible. When God Himself, the great theophany, when He came down on the mountain in blazing fire in front of the people, and all of the evidence is there that is a real historical event.
Yeah, amen. And now this new book, and so you've been wanting to write this book, or you started around that time, bringing the biggest event ever, of course, which is Yeshua's return to earth. And so your book is from Sinai to Zion, and most people don't understand that, but, you know, so that ties in. Explain.
Yeah, so this, it turned out to be the largest book, the biggest book that I've written so far, and I think probably the most important. Unfortunately, today a lot of people are intimidated. It's pushing 400 pages. But essentially what I demonstrate in the book, and, you know, again, for anyone who is really Old Testament literate, they really are familiar with the Old Testament, they understand this. But to think of this, Pastor Dan, the greatest event in redemptive history, God Himself came down in front of the people. I mean, this doesn't happen every day, right? Like, I've never seen God visibly come down, shake the mountain, mighty earthquake, the blasting of trumpets, lightning, you know, all of the thunder and all of this, right? Like, that's never happened to me. That happened in front of tens, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people. Okay? That was a powerful, powerful event. What happened there, from a biblical perspective, is intended to be a faint foreshadow of what will come when Jesus returns on the clouds with his angels in blazing fire, with lightning, with thunder, with the blasting of trumpets and a mighty earthquake. The redemption that's coming in the future is the greater version of what happened back in the Exodus. And so I just walk through all of the scriptural evidence for this, and it helps us to see not only the bigger picture that the Bible's telling, the bigger story the Bible's telling, but it helps us to see the story of the return of Jesus in far more vivid detail. And we look at a lot of important passages that many people have ignored, not realizing that they're talking about the return of Yeshua.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, as over the years, I repeat the Torah over and over, right? Okay, but, you know, there's different places throughout the world where you get to a place and you say, well, that couldn't have been Yahweh, the Father himself. So who was that they're calling that? And you point that out in your book and a lot in your videos, that you can actually see Yeshua in the Old Testament, and a lot of people just don't grasp that. You confirmed a lot of things for me with this book and what you're talking. You want to address that?
Yeah, so basically, if you start at the beginning of the Bible and you start tracing these classic messianic prophecies, these prophecies that predict that the Messiah would be the snake crushing, he would crush the skull of the snake, Genesis 3:15. But he's portrayed as a human. He's the seed of Eve. He's the seed of Abraham. He's the seed of David, right? So clearly he has to be born. You know, unto us a child is born, a son is given. He's human. And you can follow those particular prophecies throughout Scripture. It's a great study. But there's also these other prophecies. I call them the desert prophecies. And these prophecies speak of Yahweh God Almighty coming from heaven. He's always referred to as coming from heaven and marching. And what's amazing is he's portrayed in anthropomorphic form. He's in the form of a man, you know, two arms, two legs. And he's marching. He's portrayed as a divine warrior. And he's marching from the south, from the region of Sinai, up through the region of Edom and Petra, making his way up, just like the Exodus of the past, except now it's not just the pillar of cloud, it's God himself on the ground. And so the New Testament looks back at these passages that speak of Yahweh God Almighty, and they recognize that these are passages that are actually speaking of the return of Yeshua. It's not just flamboyant, poetic language. Well, we know God didn't literally come down in the form of a man. It's just, no, these are literal passages that are intended to be understood literally, and that's how all of the New Testament writers, Jesus, Paul, Peter, and John, all interpret them. And once they're all opened up and laid out, it just becomes so clear. As I said, it's so vivid and so beautiful.
Yeah, amen. Didn't you per se say that this book took you longer to write than any of your others?
It did. I worked on it for a couple of years and put a lot into it, and I trust that will show. It's essentially what I've done here is the same thing I did with Mystery Babylon. Is I broke it up into three parts, and the truth is, any one of the three parts is essentially its own book. So it's really three books in one. You could pick it up and just read part three, and that would be a fantastic study. You could pick it up and just read part two. You could just read part one. Any one of those stands by itself. But if you read them all together, they have a real clear flow. It's a great Bible study. It's perfect for personal, or group Bible studies. Get together, open the Word. It's a deep dive.
Yeah, amen. Something that has been on me for a long time. Didn't you? And I hope I get this right, through my old man memory, right, is that you spoke of when in the Old Testament that there is a point where we're talking about the name where it showed that the Father and the Son being together at the same time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, Daniel 7, so whenever you study these things, obviously you have to study the Bible in the way that it was revealed. And anyone, again, a Jew understands. You start with Moses, You start with Torah. You start with the Pentateuch. And then you work your way forward to the writings and the prophets. And they're all just expanding. They're just reiterating what has already been laid out in Moses. So when you get to Daniel, you know, Daniel's one, he's one of the later prophets. When you get to Daniel in Daniel 7, he has this vision where he sees the Ancient of Days. And obviously anyone, you know, a Christian is going to say, well, that's the Father. But then he sees someone else, and he's described as one like a son of man. In other words, he's in human form. But he's coming on the clouds. And so for anyone who's Old Testament literate, they understand that in Deuteronomy 33 and Psalm 68, Yahweh is the cloud rider. And this was a polemic, okay, because the followers of Baal, they called, Baal was a storm god, he's a pagan storm god, and they said he's the cloud rider. Well, then the biblical writers came along and said, you guys can say that Baal is the cloud rider, but our God is the cloud rider. We've seen him with our eyes. We followed him through the desert. The cloud went before us. God was in the cloud. Yahweh alone is the cloud rider. It says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, there is none like the God of Jeshurun, which is my upright one, the God of Israel. There is none like the God of Israel who rides upon the skies and who comes on the clouds to save you. So only Yahweh rides on the clouds. So when you get to Daniel 7 and it says, here's the Ancient of Days, and then someone else like a son of man is coming on the clouds, well, that's Yahweh too. So you have Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son. And this is biblical theology. I mean, I'm sorry, this is Christian theology, you know, classic Trinitarianism in the Old Testament. Like, you know, the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, you know, Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, Yahweh the Holy Spirit, that's not some Christian or even pagan or New Testament concept. That idea is thoroughly revealed in the Old Testament, but it's in Daniel 7 where it really comes together. The desert prophecies as well as the classic messianic prophecies, all of a sudden it becomes crystal clear that the one who's going to be born, the seed of Eve, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, this human, is also going to come back in the clouds. So there you have, you have the two comings, the first and the second coming. And that's in the Old Testament. That was clear. You don't need to turn to the New Testament for this. The New Testament elaborates on it, but it's already laid out crystal clear in the Old Testament.
Great. I've got to break in. We're going to go to a break, and we'll talk more with you when you come back. Folks, go to joelstrumpet.com, joelstrumpet.com. That's a really good place to get a hold of him. Anyway, so we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk again with Joel. Just so happy to have him on. Y'all be blessed. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, his Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for him. He does it cause he cares for us, and that's why he cuts us thin. When he's through, we may not see the good in what he's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in his son. His time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful. We must be thankful. We've been pruned. We must be thankful. We've been
pruned. About 800 years before the birth of Messiah, the prophet Micah foretold his birth in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Every year thousands of Christian pilgrims make their way to Bethlehem to visit the city in which the Messiah was born. Although unaware, most of them are taken into a subterranean cave where the pagan sun god Tammuz was worshipped, and are told that this is the place where Jesus was born. Tammuz was the Akkadian sun god, also known as Adonis by the Greeks. In mythology, he was known to be the husband of Ishtar, from which we derive the name Easter. His birthday was known to be at the time of the winter solstice, or December 25th. Jerome, the Latin Bible translator, whose school was located adjacent to the cave, informs us of the worship of Tammuz on this spot. Quote, "Even my own Bethlehem, as it now is that most venerable spot in the whole world, of which the psalmist sings, 'The truth has sprung out of the earth,' was overshadowed by a grove of Tammuz, that is, of Adonis. And in the very cave where the infant Christ had uttered his earliest cry, lamentation was made for the paramour of Venus." End quote. Just one more example of the pagan influences upon modern-day Christianity. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And yes, we are listening and visiting with Joel Richardson about his new book, From Sinai to Zion. But first, just with us, one little word. Pray about support and talk radio. We do a lot of research and everything, but it's really hard. The point is we need you to support us. So you can support us online, over the telephone, anything like that, but pray about supporting us. But also, we have the Wichita Mission Church. You know, some of these people come to me, even with COVID, we're still treating them. You know, that some of them think I'm their doctor. We've been feeding people and clothing people and doing all these things through winter. You know, we had over 40 or 50 people standing outside in the freezing cold rain to get a plate of food. That's not to mention standing outside in the snow and everything. Because why outside? Because thanks to Wichita, Kansas, our place is so small, even though we cram 50 people or 60 people in it at a time, they're elbow to elbow. But if we went by their guidelines they want us to go by, we could only put about 10 people in there. Left that right. So we'd say, well, what 10 people? So we've been doing this outside. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We could really use your help. And now we're back with Joel. If we haven't lost him, you still there, Joel?
I am still here.
Well, amen. And thank goodness for you. Okay. You know, I have a million questions in my head, but let's take this back. So people think Yeshua's coming back, and when he comes back, of course, well, he's going to come right back to the Mount of Olives. That you show the real truth, and that's why the tie-in with Mount Sinai is so important. You want to briefly go into that?
Yeah, well, you know, clearly you have there in Zechariah 12 this reference that says that in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And so because of that, a lot of Christians believe, well, for that as well as in Acts 2, where, you know, he was on the Mount of Olives when he went up into the clouds, and then the angel says, you know, hey, men of Galilee, you know, rednecks, why are you guys staring into the clouds? The same Jesus who went up is going to come back in the same way that you saw him go. It doesn't say that he's going to
This is really a mystery. Anyway, where would you pick it up?
Sure. So we were talking about where will Jesus return, and I actually have a whole chapter that I dedicate to this issue, but a lot of Christians believe he returns to the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah 12 it says, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And I do believe that he will make it to the Mount of Olives. Obviously, Jesus is coming back to be enthroned as king in Jerusalem. But there are so many other passages that say before he gets there, there's a royal procession from the south. In fact, it specifically says, interestingly, in Zechariah 9, one of the most important messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, you know, it says, behold, your king comes lowly on a foal, the colt of a donkey. It says in that very prophecy, it says, and then Yahweh will appear over them, and he will march in the whirlwinds, the storms of the south. And so there's a picture of Yahweh marching from the south, which is numerous prophecies speak of that. So I think a much better case can be made biblically that he starts as the greater Moses in the south, possibly all the way back in Egypt. He passes through Sinai and he makes his way up to Jerusalem. And in the process of doing this, he's setting the prisoners free. He's setting the prisoners of the Antichrist free, those that have fled into the desert. And he's slaying his enemies. He's destroying the armies of the Antichrist, as it says in Psalm 68. Those with him are shouting, kings of armies, flee. These are the armies of the Antichrist. And so the wrath of God will be poured out personally by Yeshua when he returns. Yahweh himself on the ground and in the flesh.
Yeah, amen. And that's something that really fascinated me because, you know, I've been post-tribulation, you know, I've never been pre-trib rapture. You know, I've always been post. And then there's several people that wrote some great books. There was one I was trying to think of. I think McPherson, does that sound right? But
yep.
Yeah, that, you know, started opening my eyes, but I just couldn't get over the hump, you know what I'm saying? But after listening to you talk about it and then in the book, that makes a lot more sense. That makes some different things that happen around that time doable, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you just read, after saying, if you just read Revelation and see when he returns, it makes sense. Back to you.
You know, this is a theme that makes a lot of Christians uncomfortable. But there it is crystal clear in Revelation 19. When Jesus returns, it says, in righteousness he judges and makes war. And they're uncomfortable with the fact that if there is one primary theme that dominates all of the prophecies about the return of Jesus, the overwhelming theme is he comes back as the divine warrior. Yes, he's the divine king, he's the judge, but the theme that's reiterated is he is a divine warrior. And so again, all the way back there, Genesis 3:15, the Lord declares to the serpent that one is coming who will crush your head, he says to the serpent. You're going to bruise his heel. He is going to crush your skull. And so that theme of Yahweh is the divine warrior who comes back to save Israel and to save his people. You know, we who are Gentiles that have joined ourselves to Israel.
But
I'm back.
Okay. Well, are you there? Are you there, Joel?
I am back.
Okay, you're back. So you did leave me for a minute, right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It just second time it just dropped off.
Yeah, well, let's do this. You know, this I can put everything together in this program. It's a really great program, and I don't want to take a chance of good information being messed up again. Are you, just for curiosity, are you using the same phone you always use?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so that's not the problem. Hey, listen, where can they find, okay, tell them again where they can find it, Joel's Trumpet and everything, and I'll get you out of here because I don't want to see that happen again. We've really got a lot of good information in this program. But tell them about Joel's Trumpet, what all's open, and the book and all that.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm at joelstrumpet.com, and I've actually just released an app. If you go to your app store and type in Joel's Trumpet, there's an app that you can just get all my videos, and you know, it takes you to the store and all that as well. But, yeah, that's where, you know, again, if you're interested in Sinai Design, you can get the hardcover there. And let me just say this, Pastor Dan, all my books I put out for free as PDF files on my website. So if you want to read the book and you can't afford it, if you can handle reading it electronically, it's free on my website under free resources. And just a lot of, yeah, I put out regular videos, Bible teaching. We're working through the book of Revelation right now, and it's all there at Joel's Trumpet.
Well, you know, Joel, most people write their books. They want to make money off of their books. I mean, you know, how do you wrestle with that? What's your concept? Why do you put them online when most people do it for profit?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously I do sell them as well. When I reached the place that I was able to pay all my bills, traveling around, speaking at churches, and raising some support, then I just said, hey, from this point forward, it's not about, the gospel's not about making profit. You know, I mean, I don't just do everything for free, obviously. You know, I've got a family and so forth. But once I was able to pay my bills, I just said, I'm going to start giving them away for free. And because it's about the message. It's not about making a buck.
Well, then there's the point. It's about the message. So, amen. You know, I've wrestled with so many people, especially when I started off helping the Prophecy Club way back, you know, and people said, well, he's selling the gospel and he's making money off of it. And I pointed to him, I said, well, you know, in that case, if he doesn't charge for a book, and nobody was into online, I'm talking back in the 90s, right, where he couldn't just put them out. And I said to him, you know, well, who's going to pay for the buildings that he goes to and gives seminars? Who's going to pay for radio airtime? Who's going to do all that? Because he's not independently wealthy. But I've had people, you know, they bring that out a lot. But that's the answer. You know, you're about the message, and the Father took care of you where you could do. Again, you discovered some incredible things, or I don't know if you want to call it discovered. To me, it's discovered because the way that you put everything together. And all of your books, if you start from the first and come clear through to now, everything you have did ties to this book and to the rediscovery of Mount Sinai. And that's pretty fantastic. So I guess that means you're on the right path, huh?
Yeah, the Lord's got me on a path. There's definitely a price. There's definitely spiritual warfare that comes with it. It's just about as much as I can bear, but you know, you gotta follow what he's laid out before you.
Yeah, amen, amen. Just for a second, you have, what is the Frontier Alliance? I would like you to point to that, if you would please. It's really blessed me.
Yeah, so I work with a few different ministries. I work with the Underground Church in Iran, that's Global Catalytic Ministries, GCM, and then I work with FAI, which is Frontier Alliance International. It's a missions organization that's headquartered in the Golan Heights in Israel, but they're all over the Middle East and Iraq and Syria and Cyprus and Israel. And we also, as a missions organization, create films. And we've created 8 feature films to date. I'll mention the last one that we just put out. It's actually a musical film. 22 original songs about the book of Revelation, and you can just get the songs on, you know, iTunes or Apple Music, but you can also watch the film for free. And I'll say this, it's kind of funny.
Okay. Well, folks, that was Joel Richardson. We're having a little bit of airway problem. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, there's Joel.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on. And now we're finding out that this is a Skype problem, and so we're going to have to find it. What do you use when you do your things? This has just came recent within the last month with us, so we've been searching desperately to figure out what the problem is. I'm beginning to think it's Skype. What do you use?
Oftentimes we use Zoom. There's all kinds of different ones. There's BlueJeans. I don't know. The kids have different ones at school that they use, but... You know, I don't know. That's not my field of expertise.
I apologize. I know this has got to be frustrating to you. It's really frustrating to me because I've had to cut back on guests and everything. We replaced equipment and everything, and the problem still seems to be out there. With that, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Thanks for taking the time and having the patience to still be on here when this is happening. And I'll tell everybody where to find you, and just thanks for doing the work that you do. So I'll just say goodbye to you now.
All right. Well, God bless, Pastor Dan. You have a good night.
All right. Goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, as you can tell, that's pretty frustrating, to have to keep dealing with this. This was a really great, serious problem. We're going to figure it out somehow. We'll have to go to a different thing. We've been using Skype forever. We've been using Skype before most people started using Skype. In fact, I was drug, off of my wonderful telephone into Skype. I was reluctant at first, but we liked the clarity and everything of it, and even the TV stations use Skype and things. So we will find another solution so I can start bringing guests back on without interruption. So I now apologize to you folks for this. So anyway, an app. Joel Richardson also has an app, I'm getting a feedback that point being is we'll figure out what the problem is and we'll get it done. But Joel, I can't wait to pick up my phone after the program and put Joel's app in here so I can stay up with him because, folks, he's always finding new things, it seems like, or as he says, rediscover. But everything he did, if you go clear back to the beginning of his first book and the one he co-authored, I don't know if his first book was the one he co-authored. It was the one that I discovered that he wrote with Walid Shubat. But anyway, if you go through all his books and read them and come up to this present point, they all tie together, and it's leading to this. And this book is great, from Sinai to Zion. It's wonderful. What I was going to ask him about next, he explains the marriage supper of the Lamb in the book, and you know what all that means, and what it means by us being the bride of Christ. All of that there is in his book. And so anyway, you know, just hats off to him. He's really did a fantastic job, and it took a couple of years to write this book. Okay, let's click over to something else. Anyway, that's joelstrumpet.com. Well, folks, we've got a couple of minutes left, and let me express to you, you know, about the Mission Church. We have been really, really blessed, the Father providing for us to take care of the people. But when you have, you know, 40 or so people standing outside in the rain, and that's at one time. That day we fed 70-some people. But at one time, you had 40 people standing out in the rain, cold rain, waiting to get food. That shows desperation. It really does, that they would come out in the rain and stand around like that. And so we also, these same people, you know, we feed them, we clothe them. We do all those things, and we've been able to fight through the COVID and all the restrictions and things and still be able to help them. But that only comes through your support, because this ministry, Messiah's Branch, we don't sell anything. I don't sell T-shirts or anything else. Yeah, I have, for the record, I have been trying to sell T-shirts through one of this online things because I got a really great T-shirt idea, but I haven't been able to make any of them work for me. So it, I don't think I'm supposed to sell anything. But my point is, we've been on the air. We've been on the air. We've been able to feed the people because of you folks donating to us. And we need that continued support. I really pray that you go over and listen to the first program that my wife and I did today. It's kind of a shocker. You know, it comes with a shocker notice that it'll make you cry. If you really listen to it, it'll make you cry about what's going on. And that's, I'm not talking about in the area of Donald Trump. I'm talking about what's going on to the sacrifice of children and the bloody descriptions of it. So you should really go over and listen to it. But warning, you know, it's a shocker. But you should get that information. You should get it and share around. And there's the point. We're bringing you things that other people just aren't bringing them. They're too stuck in politics and everything else. And so pray about it. Pray about it. Anyway, you can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order, give your donation over the phone. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you go to prophecyhour.com, there's a link right at the top that, of a lion. You just click the lion, and it'll take you right to PayPal. And I'm also going to put a link to PayPal directly when this goes to podcast later tonight. Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, charity, let's always remember that charity starts first at home and it goes out from your home. I want you to take care of your family first before you even consider donating to us. So anyway, you know, folks, you must really remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the word of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pay for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and that his face shines upon you, and that he's gracious to you. It gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.